discover the inherent power of God in you.
Whether there are challenges or not, we are still the same. We are constant. God is constant. God has not changed. And that is the life that we have received. He says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is the same life we have also received. We are also the same yesterday, today, and forever. What kind of life? We are the same because we have the same life with Christ. So when you think about God, think about you. Because everything He is, that is why He told Abraham, He said, I am your exceeding great reward. God gave Himself as a reward to Abraham. And we are the seed of Abraham. Therefore, we have inherited God Himself.
Listen to Pastor Oti Boateng as Christ is magnified in you.
So let me show you 12 benefits of 12 benefits of awakening to the fatherhood of God. I'm now coming to start preaching. Hallelujah. Hello. Oh, hallelujah. See, I'll never be broke in my life. See, I'll never be sick in my life. So, benefits of awakening to the fatherhood of God. Can I show it to you? Number one, real protection and preservation. Real protection and preservation. When you are awakened to the fatherhood of God, you are awakened to the reality of protection and preservation. The key to living a life of health and strength, a life depression-free, accident-free, injury-free, disaster-free. Thank you. Hello? Loss-free, losing things. How many of you don't want to lose anything in your life? From a child to a business. Yeah. Loss-free. It's being conscious that you are so loved that He will prevent your feet from being dashed against a rock. Yeah. God loves me too much to let me run into a crisis. John chapter 17, verse 11. John 17, verse 11. Jesus is still praying. John 17. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thy own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Next verse. Verse 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou givest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. So Jesus is letting us know that He kept the disciples in the name Father. Do you understand? Did you see any of the disciples being rushed to the hospital when Jesus was with them? Did you see them going for emergency, like accident has happened? Hey, there was nothing like that. Did you see anyone depressed? Did you see anyone not protected? Jesus is showing up. Herod was looking for them. Do you remember? Herod was looking for them. Jesus was told, Herod is coming, run away. Jesus said, go and tell that fox. How was Jesus able to talk boldly when they were looking for Him to kill Him and all of that? He was protected and preserved. How? Protected from plagues. Yeah, because of His consciousness of the Father's love. He knows that He's so loved. He's too loved. He cannot come into injury. The word keep is stereo. The Greek word is stereo. It means to prevent from injury, prevent from disaster, prevent from calamities, prevent from fear, prevent from danger. Can you imagine? That the name Father is what protected them. Jesus said, I have kept them in thy name. I'm not the one saying it. Go to verse 11. And now I am no more in the world, but these are they in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name. So we are kept through the name of God the Father. The name he's talking about is Father. And Father has to do with love. Hey, You are not impressed. I don't know if you are impressed. Yeah. Yeah. Father loves me too much. COVID cannot kill me. It cannot even come close to me. I'm preserved. I'm too loved to be in crisis. Yeah. Any business crisis, I'm exempted from it. Haircuts, low cuts, punk Joe, whatever, I'm preserved. Yeah. No head, I'm preserved. Are you in the church? You have gone home. That's a preserve. Jesus says he preserved them. He kept them. Yeah. Terio. It means to keep or prevent from injury, disaster, from loss by the name. Jesus, I've lost only one, the son of perdition. Because he didn't want to be preserved. Yeah. He didn't want to be preserved. Jesus says, keep all of them. So the knowledge or the conscience, when you are waking to the fatherhood of God, you know you are preserved. You are so loved that you don't mind when you are walking through the dark. Like, I'm afraid of darkness, I'm afraid of this. No, all of that leaves your life. Hey, do you like my message? Number two, I'm just running to an end close. I pray for the sick. One of the things knowledge of the Father does for you is to give you health and healing. Number two, care and comfort. Care and comfort. Awakening to the fatherhood of God brings you care and comfort. Care and comfort. John chapter 14. Don't sleep. Tell neighbor, don't sleep. John chapter 14, verse 18. Finally, you have points, so you can write something. Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. Remember, NLT. I will not leave you as what? As orphans. I will come to you. Care and what? Comfort. The word orphans is also referred to as comfort. Like in Genesis, comfortless. Someone broke your heart. Or you broke someone's heart. He cares for you more affectionately and watchfully. Can you imagine? Have you read that verse before? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Show it to us. 1 Peter 5, verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. He's talking about God the Father. Let's read other versions. Amplified, yeah. Can we read it together? Can we read it together? One, two, go. Casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on him. For he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. The Lord cares. The Father cares about you watchfully and affectionately. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Do you believe it? My Father loves me to leave me. He loves me to forsake. I'm not forsaken. I'm too loved. No matter what goes on, I'm in the bosom of the Father. Come what may, I'm in the bosom of the Father. No matter what is happening, I'm in the bosom of the Father. The Father loves me. My head is on his chest. Yeah, I can hear his heartbeat. He loves me. He cares for me. No matter what's going on. Amplified. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Oh, let your character or moral disposition be free from love of money, including greed, avarice, lust, and craving for earthly possessions. And be satisfied with your present circumstances and with what you have. For he, God, himself, not someone, he, God, what? Himself has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up. God is too good to me. He will never give me up. My Father loves me too much to give me up. Nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not. I will not. I will not in any degree leave you helpless. He's not saying I will. It's not repetitional. That's the original Greek. It's a double negative. Like, I will never, never, not in this time, not in the time to come, never leave you. I will not. I will not. I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake, nor let you down. Relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. Wow. Have you seen it? Yeah. I'll never leave you. The Lord cares for you. The Father cares for you. The Father is with you. Look at the next verse. Then it says, so that we may boldly say. He wants you to repeat it. So we take comfort and are encouraged and confidently and boldly say, because you know that he cares for you. He says, the Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm. I will not fear or dread or be terrified. What can man do to me? Every other place, they are all men. They are all human beings. What can they do to me? I'm going home. I don't think you like my message. I'm going to bed. The Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm. He wants you to say it. He wants you to say it. He wants to declare it. You know the Lord will not forsake you. No matter what is going on, Father, I know you love me. I know you are holding me. I know you are caring for me. I know you are comforting me. I know you care for me. He cares for you affectionately and watchfully. Yeah. Don't let people let you cry. Number three, provision. Provision. Knowledge of the fatherhood of God brings you into a realm of real provision. You understand provision? Not the one you take to school. Supply. Supply. Abundant supply. Okay? Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Oh, have you been blessed? Thank you, Father. What does it mean for the Father to love us as much as he loves Jesus? What does it mean to you? He loves you too much to keep anything good from you. I'm coming there. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thoughts for your life. Take no thoughts for your life. Hey, Adrian Jane. Do you know Adrian Jane? It's as though Adrian Jane is worrying. It's as though worrying is a sign of maturity. It's a sign that you are now more matured. You are more responsible. The brain is always racking. It's racking a lot. You are serious in life. When you are worrying, it's like you are very serious. But Jesus says, take no thoughts for your life. Eh? Take no thoughts for your life. Watch what you shall eat or what you shall drink. Yeah? That one is 32. Okay. Nor yet for your body. What you shall put on. Look at this verse. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? God, Jesus is saying that. Listen, why are you thinking about what you eat or what you wear and what you drink? If the body, he says the body that you have, is it not more important? Body and drink, which one is more important? Hello, your body and drink, which one is more important? How about your life and food? Which one is more important? Did you give yourself your body? Did you give yourself your life? If you didn't give yourself your body and you didn't give yourself your life, what is your problem about what you eat and what you wear? Why are you worrying about the church growing or not growing? Is the church for you? Did Jesus say, we will build our church? Jesus said, we will build our church. What did Jesus say? Who is the I? Is it you or him? He will build the church. Go to bed. You are worrying too much. Go to bed. You are not sleeping over what? Go to bed. Did you die for the church? This year, God told me, do you love your wife more than any man? I said, oh, no. I love my wife. I'm supposed to love my wife more than any other person. Yeah, if another person loves my wife more than me, it will be a problem. Yeah, it's a suspect. Oh? Yeah? God asked me, do you love your wife more than any man, right? I said, yes. Then he said, the church is my wife. Who made you think that you love the church more than I do? You love the church more than I do. You love economy church more than I do. You love the church. What do you mean? Stop that and sit down there. I kept quiet and I sat down. Go and sit down. Yeah. Relax. Relax, brother. Why are you worrying? Ministry is equal to John chapter 2, verse 5. John 2, 5. Whatever he tells you, whatever he saith unto you, do it. That's ministry. Ministry is equal to whatsoever he tells you, say unto you, do it. We like comparing. That's why we're always worrying. We like comparing. Ministers are the number one competitive people in the whole world. Ministers. Including me. We like competing in our minds. Comparing. We are copying work all the time. Hey, this person is doing this. Let me do this. Let me do that. Hey, he did this. I've not done some. Hey, Yeah, all the time. That's why we're always worried. If only we busy ourselves with whatever he says we should do. No, you just do what he says you should do. Yeah, because he's the one who gives the assignment. Tell me about relax. Relax. What the Lord wants to do, he will do it. God is not slack concerning his covenants. He will do it. Hallelujah. Ah, provision, right? The Lord will supply. We didn't finish. Matthew chapter 6. 25. Why are you worrying? Ask anybody, why are you worrying? Did you provide your body? Do you know how to manufacture kidney? Ask your neighbor, do you know how to manufacture kidneys? Like you'll be rich by now. Even chocolate you cannot do. Jesus says, is it body and food? Which one is more important? Body. Life and drink. Which one is more important? Life. Okay, so what's your problem? If I've given you body and I've given you life, why can't I give you food or what you wear or what you drink? What is your problem? You're always carrying the world in your hand. No. Relax. Tell me about relax. Yeah. He will supply. Trust him. If he's your father, you know that he's supplying all your needs. My Lord is supplying all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I'll never be poor. Do you think God knows you are around? Do you think God knows you are here on earth? Or he doesn't know? He knows. So why are you worrying? Who takes care of who? God or you? Do you take care of yourself or God takes care of you? You'll be worried if you take care of yourself. But if you know God takes the one who provides for you, do you not be worried? Are you in the church? Number 4, fearless confidence. Awakening to the fatherhood of God gives you fearless confidence. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. 1 John 4, 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that feared is not made perfect in love. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Is he talking about our love for people being perfect? No. He's talking about our believing in the love, that the perfect love that God has for us. God's love for us is perfect. It's not, there's no error. Like God is not hiding something. Like there are some caveats that he has hidden. If you do something, you see. No. God accepts you. He accepts you perfectly. Are you in the church? And because if you know how much he accepts you and how much he loves you, that his love for you is, there's no shadow of turning with his love for you. He says that fear will check out of your life. You gain confidence. The verse before this says it. Look at the verse before the 1 John 4, 17. Here is love. Is our love made perfect? It's not even, it doesn't read here is our love made perfect. It's not talking about our love. It's talking about God's love. Here is God's love for us made perfect. So that we may have boldness. The word boldness is paresia. To speak confidently. In the day of crisis. He says when the word judgment is crisis. Because as he is, so are we in this world. In the day of crisis, what will give you the opportunity to speak boldly is the knowledge of the fact that you are loved. God's love for you is perfect. God doesn't have any hidden things concerning you. God loves you perfectly. Believe it or not, you may be thinking about something. Oh, I don't know. Maybe God has something against me. God has nothing against you. God accepts you. God loves you. Knowing that gives you fearless confidence in life. You can face life. You know that God is backing you. I get backing. I get backing. God is backing me. God is not against me. God is backing me. So I can face life with strength and confidence. My future is bright. My future is bright. Because Jesus is my future.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. As many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God. It says, children who are not born of blood, nor of man, nor of the flesh, but children who are born of God. We are born of God, and what that means is that we are accepted of God. And because we are accepted of God, no fear. Come boldly. Are you in the church? You are going on? Fearless what? Confidence. Say fearless confidence.
Yes.
All right. Can we go on? You can expand it. I could have said a lot about all these things, but because of time. Number 5, you'll be filled with all the fullness of God. You'll be filled with all the fullness of God. You'll be filled with all the fullness of God. Not some, all. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 to 19. Ephesians 3:16. that he will grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. What is there? Is it semicolon or colon or comma? Semicolon, right? Spirit in the inner man, semicolon. So he's coming to explain what it means to be strengthened with might by his spirit. How are we strength? Where does spiritual strength come from? Next verse. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Being rooted and grounded in love is where your spiritual strength comes from. Being rooted and grounded in his love, in the consciousness of his love for you. Next verse. That you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and that you may know the love of Christ, not our love for Christ, the love of Christ. How much God has loved us by giving us his son, Jesus Christ, which passeth knowledge, so that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. All the fullness of God. Knowing how much God has loved you is what leads to you being filled with all the fullness of God. I don't know. I can't preach this. If I preach, we will not close. Let's read the Amplified. Let me just read it to you. How many of you want to be filled with the Spirit? The key to being filled with the Spirit is your knowledge of how much God has loved you. Not changing your facial construction. In prayer, no. The knowledge of how much you have been loved. How much you have been loved, expressed on the cross. That you may really come to know practically through experience for yourselves the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience, that you may be filled through all your being unto all the fullness of God, may have the richest measure of his divine presence, and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God himself. This body, he's telling you how this body can be fully flooded with God and his presence. Wow. By being conscious of his love. TPT. Okay, let's read TPT. Oh, what a blessing. Say, I'm loved. Then you'll be empowered to discover what every holy one experiences. The great magnitude of the astonishing love of Christ in all its dimensions. How deeply, intimate and far-reaching his love is his love. How enduring and inclusive it is. Endless love beyond measurement that transcends our understanding. This extravagant love pours into you until you are filled to overflowing with the fullness of God. Charlie, what a word. Number 6, it is the key to an effective faith. It's the key to an effective life of faith, if you like. The key to an effective life of faith. Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. Galatians 5, verse 6. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Faith which worketh by what? Love. What is he trying to say? He's trying to let you know that your faith, for your faith to work, you need to understand how much God has loved you. Not faith which worketh by your love, but faith which worketh by understanding how much he has loved. Do you understand what I'm saying? The other way around, yeah. We said it the other way around. Faith, which your faith must work by love, by your love. Like the more you love, the more your faith works. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about your faith working based on the knowledge of the fact that you have been loved. Yes. If you know how much you have been loved, your faith will work more. Do you understand what I'm saying? What I just said is very important. You are tired, so you can't understand. Your faith will work more when you know that you are loved. God loves me too much to deny me of this thing I'm asking for. I'm asking for money. Why is the money not going to come? The money, you think that the money will not come because you've not done some things. You've not won souls. You've not prayed much. You've not done this. You've not done that. Do you see? You are getting into works. He wants you to know that the more you acknowledge how much he has loved you, the more you know that, oh, anything, I can ask for anything and it'll work. It's the same as what is written in Romans 8, verse 32. Look at Romans 8, 32. The same thing is the same thing there. Romans 8, 32. Can we read this together? One to go. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Do you understand what you just read? It says God did not spare his own son, Jesus Christ, but he gave him up for us all. That is equal to love. God's love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, right? So he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. If he loved me to the point of giving me his son, why will he not give me freely anything that I ask for? So my faith will work more because I know how much he has loved me. If I ask for church growth and I don't get it, it means that Jesus is not as precious as church growth, or church growth is more important than Jesus. Because if God gave you Jesus Christ, who is the greatest of all, why will he not give you church growth? Your faith works because you know that he has given you. If we have given you Ghana, all of Ghana, what is Abokobi? That we cannot give Abokobi. Abokobi is part of Ghana. What is your problem? I don't know if you get it. So if the bigger one has been given to you, why would the small one not be given to you? Yeah. If he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how? He's one like, how? How shall he not with him also freely give you all things? All things includes all things. What are you asking for? What are you looking for? Your faith will work more when you know how much you are loved. He loved me so much, he gave me his son. What is 20 members? What is 1,000 members? What is a car? That car is coming. But I tell you, if the car doesn't come, then it means Jesus is, the car is more precious than Jesus. You weren't asking for Jesus, he gave you Jesus. What is car? You weren't asking for Jesus, he gave you Jesus. What is husband? You weren't asking for Jesus, he gave you Jesus. What is wife? What is child? That child is not more precious than Jesus Christ. If he gave me Jesus because of his love for me, a child will come. He that believeth shall not make haste. So you relax. You are not in a haste. Our faith must work. Our faith works when we know how much he has loved us. Faith worketh by love. Not our love, but his love. Hallelujah. Can you give Jesus a shout for that? Number 7. This year I'm trying to preach everything I have. Number 7. Your hopes will never be disappointed. Or your dreams will come to pass. All your dreams will come to pass. You can call it like that. All your dreams will come to pass. All your dreams will come to pass. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. Romans 5, 5. Can we read it together? One to go. Only 3 people are alive, are awake. Let's read it together. One to go. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Let's read NLT. You understand it more. And this hope will not lead to disappointment. All your hope. Hope is future. Anything you are hoping for. You are hoping for church growth. You are hoping for more money to do something. You are hoping for more helpers. You are hoping for a church building. You are hoping for a church land. I'm with the pastors here, I tell you. Receive a church land in Jesus' name. Yeah. All your hopes. It says all your hopes will come to pass. How? How will all your hopes, all your dreams come to pass? You are dreaming to travel. The visa people are here. You are dreaming to travel abroad. These people, they don't want visa. You want visa. You also want visa, isn't it? Your hope of having a visa to America, visas to Canada and to United Kingdom and to Germany, and so it says that hope will not be disappointed, and this hope will not lead to disappointment. Why? For means because we know how dearly God loves us. Because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. So the more conscious you are of his love, the more you know that your future is secured. That land is secured. That house is secured. That car is secured. My hope will never be dashed. Because God loves me too much. You know, Jesus sacrificed himself in hope. You know that? He says he had a joy. There was a joy that he had set before him. So he endured the cross. And all his hopes came to pass. All that he was looking for came to pass. Yeah, because he knew how much the Father loved him. You too, your hopes will come to pass. Your visions will come to pass. Your dreams will come to pass. Know how much you are loved. God loves me too much to make my hopes be destroyed or my hopes be cast. You are hoping for a certain type of whatever. Whatever it is you are hoping for. Yeah, whatever it is you are hoping for. It will not be dashed. Say, my hopes will not be dashed. Yeah. How? He says, for we know. Because we know how dearly God loves us. You have to know it. Know it, know it, know it, know it, know it. God loves me too much. Yeah, to deny me. Money is coming for everything. As I'm dreaming, it's happening. Yeah, that's my life. I'm loved. As I'm dreaming, money is coming. Yeah. As I'm dreaming, I dream. I'm free to dream. I don't dream with money in mind because I know I'm too loved. Every dream I have will come to pass. Yeah. All I need to do is to dream and know that I'm loved. I'm so loved I can dream. When we see a land and it comes to my heart, buy it. Oh, that's what God wants me to do. Let's get it. There's no money. Zero in our account. It will be bought. By the grace. Daddy will pay. My daddy will pay. I am not wise. Listen, I am not wise enough to take care of myself. I'm not wise enough to take care of myself. I'm not wise enough to protect myself, to put things in place, to secure my future. I'm not wise enough. No, no, no. I have a father. I give it to daddy. So I hand it over. Daddy will pay. Daddy will sort it out. You see, Jesus said that except you are converted to be like a child, you will struggle with the kingdom of heaven. Matthew chapter 18, verse 1. Look at it. Matthew 18, verse 1. At the same time, they came saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? That's the church. The kingdom of heaven is always in reference to the church. Next verse. And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, a very, very, very lesson unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. You will not enjoy the kingdom of heaven. You will not enjoy the church. You will not enjoy the things that comes with the body of Christ. Because you are old. You are too old. When you know, you are too smart. You know how to care for yourself. You know how to supply for. You know what to do. I don't know what to do. That's why I talk to my father about everything. I ask for shoes. Have you ever asked your father for shoes? I ask for shoes. I don't buy shoes. The last shoe I bought was maybe 12 years ago or 15 years ago. I don't buy at all. I don't buy shoes. I don't buy shirts. I don't buy trousers. I don't buy suits. What I'm wearing is free. My shirt is free. Everything I'm wearing is new. Everything. And it's all free. Paid for by my father in heaven. I don't buy things. I stopped buying some things a long time ago. No. Because I know how much my father loves me. I'm not too smart. I'm a child. There are children around. They will just run around. They don't care about anything. That's my life. I don't care about anything. My daddy go sort of. I am too foolish. A child is too foolish to care about where his next meal is going to come from. I pray that you be foolish a bit. You know that your hopes will not be disappointed. A child can ask for an aeroplane from his father. A whole aeroplane. Daddy, buy me an aeroplane. He's not thinking about his father's account. He doesn't know about his father. He doesn't know there's something called account. What is account? Will you be foolish enough to ask God for an aeroplane? What can't God do? Bishop Bempa was here recently. Bempa Bwante. Kojo Bempa. Bishop Kojo Bempa. He was here. He came to preach here just about, is it a month ago? Less than a month ago, about 3 weeks ago. We had a shepherd's camp and we brought him and he came to preach very powerfully. And he told the story of a little boy who went to a car showroom to go and ask for a very expensive car, the price. In his school uniform, he heard a message that God can give you anything. So he went to the showroom and said, I want this car with his school bag. And then they said, they're all wondering, what do you mean? He said, open the car for me. The way he was talking, he opened the car, everything, he checked the car, everything. You know, and he was still checking some few things. Then an allergy came. When the allergy came, he said, I want this car for my wife. It's today's my wife's birthday. I want the car for my wife. Then the dealer said, Charlie, Alaji, you can't have it too. This small boy has come for it. We can't. The way he's looking at it, it's like he's buying it. Then Alaji said, tell him he should just move away. He should choose any other car he likes. I want that car. He should choose any other car he likes. I want that car. I want the car he says he likes. So the little boy was told, Alaji says he wants this car. You can choose any other car. That's how he walked out with the car. The boy walked out. Yes, he walked. The Alhaji paid for another car for him and took the car he was. You understand what I'm saying? You don't understand what I'm saying? You are too wise. You are too smart. You are too wise. You are too smart for God's liking. You are too in charge. You are in control too much. You are too calculated. You are calculative. You have calculated. If this goes here and this comes here and this happens and this happens, then this will happen. Anyone there? Receive grace to be a child. Receive grace to be a child who is free to dream, knowing that he's loved so much his dreams will not be cast out. The boy walked out with a brand new car because he heard a message. He called his father to come and drive the car home. He couldn't even drive. He didn't know how to drive. Yeah. Receive grace to be a child. Yeah. I sleep. There's never a day I've never slept that I'm worrying about something. I go to bed. Do you understand? I what? I go to bed. If this is the bed, I'm inside the bed. That's it. I'm gone. 8 is the key to victory in all circumstances of life. The key to victory in all circumstances of life. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. For thy sake we are killed all the day long, right? We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Have you seen it? Next verse, verse 30, 38. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The love of God, he says, we are more than conquerors. How? Through him that loved us. Your knowledge of how much he has loved you will put you over. It will put you over. You will have victory in all circumstances of life. No matter what you are faced with, you know that it will end in glory. It will end. I am beloved. You know, David faced Goliath, right? Everybody was afraid of Goliath. Goliath was ticked up, whatever, shouting plenty and all of that. But David was not moved. Do you know the meaning of David? What's the meaning of David? The beloved. The beloved. David means the beloved. David knew that he's loved of God. My God is bigger than this nonsense, man. Whatever situation is in front of you, know that your God is bigger than that nonsense situation. Because you are the beloved of God. You are the one God is showering his love on. And you cannot and will not fail. In all these things, we are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors. Yes, they are as bread to us. We are more than conquerors. See, I'm more than a conqueror. I'm more than a conqueror. Yeah. Are you seeing it? It puts you over. Knowing how much you are loved puts you over. David knew how much he was loved. Hey, his name is Beloved, the Beloved. Yeah. David means beloved. Beloved, the one who is beloved. Yeah. That's the key to real victory in life. Hallelujah. Have you been blessed? Rise up upon your feet and thank God for what I shared with you. I know, I'm keeping it for next year. This was number what? Number 8. Okay, so number 9. We should finish. You don't like it when we don't finish. Number nine is the key to serving God and having eternal rewards. Is the key to eternal rewards. Matthew chapter 25, verse 18. Matthew 25, verse 18. And then we'll go to verse 24. Yeah. You remember this guy, the guy who had one talent. He says, but he that had received one went and digged in the earth and hid his lost money. Why did he do that? Go to verse 24. He did that because, he says, then he which had received the one talent, came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. Next verse. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast, that is thine. Fear prevented him from working with what God had given to him. Every other person worked, received double, but he hid his money. Why? Because he was afraid. He didn't know about the love of God. So the love of God, those who don't know about the love of God are those who don't work, do anything for him. They hide their talents. They don't do anything. No department, no nothing. They are on their own. Just because they reduce their efforts for the Lord, because they don't know how much the Lord loves them. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, the love of Christ constraineth us. It's the love that we have for Christ, not the love that Christ has for us, not our love for Christ, the love that Christ has for us. The love of Christ constrained us, because we thus judge that if one died, then we're all dead. Next verse. Then he says, either for the love of Christ constrained us, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. So your knowledge of how much God has loved you by giving you Jesus Christ is what will propel you to work for him. Are you in the church? We love him because he first loved us. So our ability to love him by working for him. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. He also said that if you love me, feed my sheep. You see? Yeah. You will feed the sheep when you know how much he has loved you. If you don't know how much he has loved you, you will hide your talent. And feeding his sheep comes with eternal rewards. You are rewarded eternally. So knowledge of how much God has loved you leads you to serve him more. Paul served Jesus more than he says, I labored more abundantly than them all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was, he understood that he has been loved. And because he has been loved, he has to love back. The more you understand how much God has loved you, the more you hazard your life for his sake. If you don't understand how much he has loved you, you say, oh, God is using you. Or you say that the pastor is using you. The church is using you. That's what you will say. Yeah. The church is using us. They are using our money. They are taking our offerings. They are taking our tithe. And they are using it to buy BMWs. And using it to buy Cadillacs. And using it to buy... That's what you will say. Did you give to God or you give to the church? Did you give it to the Lord or you gave it to the pastor? You gave it to the Lord, not the pastor. If the pastor is not using the money well, that's his problem. He will face God. But you gave it to the Lord. Are you expecting the pastor to bless you? You're expecting God to bless you. Not the pastor. Hallelujah. Number 10. What's number 10? Number 10, it helps you to live a disciplined Christian life. A disciplined Christian life. Your consciousness of how much God loves you leads you to live a disciplined Christian life. Disciplined Christian life. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5. Go to verse 6. Okay, it's fine. Go to verse 5. Let's read a lighter version. Okay, NLT. And have you forgotten the encouraging words God spoke to you as his children? Are you his child? Okay. He said, my child, don't make light of the Lord's discipline, and don't give up when he corrects you. Next verse. For the Lord disciplines those he loves. If you know the love of God, you will know the discipline of the Lord. And he punishes each one he accepts as his child. Actually, the word is not punish. The word is to train. Paideia. Child trainer. To train you in discipline. Not punishing you like he's punishing you with sickness or with disease. Or God doesn't do that. God raises you. So we can read another version maybe to help us. TPT. Okay, let's read TPT. For the Lord's training, you see, for the Lord's training of your life is the evidence of his faithful love. And when he draws you to himself, he proves you are his delightful children. His delightful child. Next verse. Fully embrace God's correction. God corrects you. If you know how much he loves you, then he will correct you. Fully embrace God's correction as part of your training. For he's doing what any loving father does for his children. For who has ever heard of a child who never had to be corrected? So God corrects us. And he corrects us because of his love for us. If you understand how much he has loved you, you understand that correction is part of his love. I'm going home. Or you don't like this one.
Yeah.
The correction comes in a message. The correction comes through your shepherd. The correction comes through someone around you. Correct you big time. Next verse. Verse 8. We all should welcome God's discipline as the validation of authentic sonship. Authentic sonship is equal to discipline. He will discipline you. Yeah, he will rebuke you. This is wrong. It's wrong. Stop it. Hey. For if we have never once, God doesn't want spoiled brats. Yeah. Oh, God loves me. I can do anything. No, that's not what we're saying. Yeah. If you know God's love, you know his discipline as well. Yeah. Hallelujah. For if we have never once endured this correction, it only proves we are strangers and not sons. Next verse. And isn't it true that we respect our earthly fathers even though they corrected and disciplined us? Do we? Then we should demonstrate an even greater respect for God, our spiritual father, as we submit to his life-giving discipline. The Lord corrects us. The scriptures is for the purpose of doctrine. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16. For the purpose of doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. God corrects you through his word. Okay? The grace of God that has brought us salvation has appeared, teaching us. So he will teach you to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. You can't say you love Jesus Christ and God loves you and be fooling around. No, he corrects you. Are you in the church? You have gone home. Number what? 11. Is the cure to the sin problem. Living in the conscience, that awakening to the love of God, the fatherhood of God, is the cure to the sin problem. Sin problem. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. 1 John 2, verse 15. Can we read it together? One, two, go. Love not the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Have you seen it? The love of the Father, not the love for the Father, the love of the Father. He doesn't understand how much God has loved him. That is why he's stealing. The cure to stealing is knowing that God loves you too much to let you go down. He will give you whatever you need. You don't have to steal. He will help you find satisfaction in him and not steal. Why is that man cheating on his wife? He's cheating on his wife because he doesn't think he will find God giving satisfaction in his wife. He's looking for some small girl in the corner somewhere. It's because the love of the Father is not in him. He doesn't understand. Why is she lying? She's lying because she doesn't think that God is caring enough to secure her even after telling the truth. So she's lying. She's protecting herself. There's cure to the sin problem. Is to know that we are loved. The Father loves me too much to let me be in need. He will supply whatever I need. I'll find satisfaction in him. He'll keep me. Yeah. Why is he listening to those music, that type of music? Bad songs. Hey! Serious bad songs that will stir you up to all kinds of evil. Because he doesn't think that he will find satisfaction in God. Doesn't know the love of the Father. You don't know how much God has loved you. There's so much. The satisfaction in God is more, is higher, more exciting than any other thing you can think about. But you never know it if you don't know how much God has loved you. So I pray for you that you will know the love of the Father for you. That you continuously develop. I believe God is ushering us into a new phase of understanding how much he has loved us. Rise up upon your feet for a minute. That's what I believe. I believe it strongly that the Lord has ushered us into a new phase of knowing how much he has loved us. You will not go down. You will only go higher. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Manda hashanamane. Unending. Manda hadanamane.
In my
Can you talk to the Lord in a minute? And thank him for the revelation of his word.
Lord God, you reign forever and you reign supreme. Unending.
Wanda namandelebe.
It shall reign my king. are kind, you are good. You are great, you are kind, you are good. You are...
God bless you for listening. We pray that the Word of God will be rooted and grounded in your heart as you give attention to the Word. Kindly follow Pastor T and Love Economy Church on all social networks for more of God's Word. Don't forget to subscribe to the Pastor T podcast. Simply search for Pastor T on any podcast app, plug in, and enjoy God's Word. Visit our website at loveeconomychurch.org for more information. God bless.